For the third Sunday in a row now, the assigned lectionary epistle lesson is from the book of James. It doesn't get any easier. Not many of you should become teachers, my brothers and sisters, for you know that we who teach will be judged with greater strictness. For all of us make many mistakes. Anyone who makes no mistakes in speaking is perfect, able to keep the whole body in check with a bridle. If we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we guide their whole bodies. Or look at ships. Though they are so large that it takes strong winds to drive them, yet they are guided by a very small rudder wherever the will of the pilot directs. So also the tongue is a small member, yet it boasts of great exploits. How great a forest is set ablaze by a small fire, and the tongue is a fire. The tongue is placed among our members as a world of iniquity. It stains the whole body, sets on fire the cycle of nature, and is itself set on fire by hell. For every species of beast and bird, reptile and sea creature can be tamed and has been tamed by the human species. But no one can tame the tongue, a restless evil full of deadly poison. With it we bless the Lord our God, and with it we curse those who are made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth comes blessings and cursings. My brothers and sisters, this ought not to be so. Does a spring pour forth from the same opening both fresh and brackish water? Can a fig tree, my brothers and sisters, yield olives, or a grapevine figs? No more can salt water yield fresh. God bless the reading and the hearing of this word. Amen. Have you ever seen something that you wish you hadn't seen? Have you ever heard something that you wish you hadn't heard? Have you ever said something you wish you hadn't said? Sometimes it makes me wish that we had the ability to see no evil, hear no evil, and speak no evil. And of those three, it's often impossible to block out all of those things that we see and all of those things that we hear. What we have more control over, however, is what we speak, the words that come out of our mouths. Helpful words can be used to instruct, correct, build others up, even heal emotional wounds. Damaging words can act to tear down and inflict wounds. As I mentioned, I was going to mention with the time with children, that old saying, sticks and stones may break my bones, but names will never hurt me. It just ain't true. Words can and often do inflict great harm. And if you're like me, you still have vivid memories of times when word caused you pain. And in particular, I remember that junior high was an especially cruel time verbally. We tend to forget, however, the times when we were the ones inflicting the damaging words. And yet at other times, we may actually be unaware that what we have said has caused another person pain. You know, this is a very important and a tough issue to address. But address it we must. For the scriptures are filled with words of warning about the damage that is caused by the tongue. The author of the New Testament book of James, for instance, has a lot of wisdom to shed on this subject. And he concedes that all of us make many mistakes, including teachers. James knows that small things can have a big impact, that size is not always the main measure of power. So using dynamic and vivid imagery, James says that the tongue is like a rudder on a boat, or a bridle bit in a horse's mouth. Tiny by comparison to a ship and a horse, but yielding great control when it comes to the direction it takes. So goes the rudder, so goes the ship. So goes the bridle bit, so goes the horse. That is the power, says James, of the tongue. Small, often hidden from view, but yielding great power and control. And James also makes a similar analogy to fire. Huge and destructive fires are often caused or begin with just a small match, a carelessly tossed cigarette, or a single spark from a campfire, or a single lightning strike. And never one to mince words, James writes. How great a forest fire is set ablaze by a small fire. And the tongue is a fire. It is a world of wrong, occupying its place in our bodies and spreading evil through our whole being. It sets on fire the entire course of our existence with the fire that comes to it from hell itself. Goodness. Don't you know that if James had children of his own, that their mouths were washed out a lot with soap? And I'm not talking the ivory or dove kind of soap, but the lava kind of soap. Remember lava? I remember a few intimate occasions with lava soap growing up. Admittedly, harmful words sometimes come out of our mouths unintentionally, not meant to cause the harm that they do or sound as bad as they are. But at other times, they are purposely malicious. Perhaps these intentionally harmful words are what James has in mind when he speaks of the tongue as a restless evil full of deadly poison. And in today's modern electronic digital world, harmful words are not only spoken, they are also written, especially in emails and in text messages. So I encourage you to reread and think twice before you hit that send button, just to check to see how your message might be perceived by the one receiving it. For a rewrite may be in order, or perhaps sleeping on it and seeing the next day how you feel about what you wanted to say. James continues by saying that even though we as humans are able to tame every animal in creation, a reference back to the creation story in Genesis, no one can tame the tongue. And like many other statements in the book of James, there are parallels that can be found in Jewish wisdom literature. The wisdom found in the Old Testament book of Proverbs is a good example. For instance, from chapter 16, a perverse person spreads strife, and a gossip separates close friends. You know, the actual Hebrew word translated here is gossip, which is a relatively modern word, is more literally translated as a whisperer. So yes, a particularly harmful use of our words is indeed gossip. And the Bible has a lot to say about that. Like Proverbs 20:19, a gossip reveals secrets. Therefore, do not associate with someone who talks too much. And listen to these words of wisdom found in Proverbs 10:19. The more you talk, the more likely you are to sin. If you are wise, you will restrain your speech. This advice is echoed in the psalmist's prayer of Psalm 141:3. Set a guard over my mouth, O Lord. Keep watch over the door of my lips. What a great visual image. What a great prayer. But you know, there's something else that James observes, and that's how inconsistent we are in our speech. He rightfully claims that we speak with forked tongues, speaking out of both sides of our mouths. He states, with the tongue we bless God, and with it we curse those who are made in the likeness and image of God. Such a contradiction ought not to occur, but it does, for all of us, nonetheless. So what can we do about all of this? Well, here's a few suggestions. Perhaps disconnecting the gossip hotline is a good place to start. We cannot always control what we hear or hearing the gossip that is spread. But we do have control whether or not we spread it any further. And heaven forbids we're the ones who start it. To help in this regard, I came across a poem written way back in 1855 by Beth Day. It's entitled, Three Gates of Gold. You may have heard this before. It offers this suggestion. Before you speak, let the information pass through three gates. The first gate, is it true? The second gate, is it needed? And the third and most narrow gate, is it kind? She concludes, if it passes through these gateways three, then you may tell the tale, nor fear what the result of speech may be. Those three gates again, is it true? Is it needed? Is it kind? Let us never be lulled into believing that our words don't matter, because they do. For there are consequences to pay for an untamed tongue. And that can range from anywhere from hurt feelings to broken relationships to worse. And I want to leave you with the following visual image to think about throughout this next week and beyond. I've shared it with you a few years ago to help put this issue of how we use our words into perspective. It's a Jewish folktale set in the 19th century in Eastern Europe. It tells of a man who went throughout a small community slandering, saying false and damaging things against the rabbi. And one day, feeling suddenly and deeply remorseful, he begged the rabbi for forgiveness. And he offered to undergo any form of penance to make amends. Well, the rabbi told him to take a feather pillow, cut it open, and scatter the feathers to the wind. The man did as he was told, and he returned to the rabbi, and he asked, "Am I now forgiven?" Well, almost, came the response. "You have to go perform just one last task. Go and gather all the feathers." "That's impossible," the man protested, "for the wind has already scattered them." "Precisely," replied the rabbi. And so it is with the words that we speak. Once spoken, they cannot be retrieved. Yet when we do misspeak, and we all do, our goal must always be reconciliation. That usually means asking the other for forgiveness. Remember the following prayer this week and repeat it as often as is necessary. Set a guard over my mouth, O Lord. Keep watch over the door of my lips. Amen.